Welcome to the Pure Podcast, where we dive into topics that will help you live a pure life. I'm Joby, your host, and today we have some amazing guests lined up to share their expertise with you. Some of the topics we'll be discussing include breathwork training, healing, trauma release methods, meditation practices, and divine healing. We'll be speaking with world-leading experts, people in the field who are making a huge difference in the lives of others. So whether you are looking to improve your own well-being or seeking to help others, this podcast is for you. Make sure to follow and subscribe to Pure Breathwork for all the latest episodes. And for those interested in becoming a breathwork facilitator, head to our website, purebreathwork.org. Okay, so questions on theory of breathwork.
Mm-hmm.
What was the question about the timings?
Yeah, about timings and how you kind of count people in, or is it best to do it with no music so that doesn't kind of come into the play?
So it's all very intuitive, okay? Mm. So every session you have is going to be a little bit different. It's bespoke because we never know who's going to be in front of us, what they've got going on.
What they need.
Yeah, this is where the principles of breath therapy come in. Mind of the breathe, environment, technique, us, and
something else,
right? So my timings, I normally have my structure is 15, 20 minutes cleansing activation stage. Mm-hmm. Let's get the body into that self-healing mode, because whatever we're holding on to, we want to get the body into that stage where it's starts to naturally release. It's
organic. Yeah. You feel the energy.
Exactly. But this is where people also have to really relax, because the resistance in the first 15, 20 minutes
is the biggest.
So we have to get them relaxed as quick as we can. After 20 minutes is the processing stage. What we've got to process, what we've got to work through. Okay, so it's the activation of the working through traumas, pains, emotions. So we'll probably do that for a good 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Again, sometimes it's just about being with the breath. No, it's not even about thinking, oh, I've got to work through this emotion. Because if you're doing that, you're in the mind. So you've got to come out of the mind and into the breath.
And that's when I think things just shoot through them, don't they? Like messages and wording.
Wash
and
glasses.
Vision. I told you I was tired. And that's the clue.
So the main thing is that when we're in a session, if I feel that we're getting about 30 minutes in, 40 minutes in, and I feel like it needs to go gentler, again, I said to you earlier on,
gentle,
because
forcing it a bit.
Yeah, exactly. So it's quite nice to really play each session by ear. But as long as you've got that structure, first 15, 20 minutes, we're going to get in.
Clear it all out.
Then we're going to work through whatever we need to work through. Third section, as we come to the end of the hour, is the meditation section. And it's like when a boat goes through water, the wave then follows. So when we really get into that meditation state, that's when the body goes, because we're not thinking about the breath.
Yeah.
We're not thinking about, oh, I've got to do this.
About anything.
You're just there and you're in this euphoric bliss. And by that time, hopefully you've hit your divine spark. And when you do that, that's when the wave goes.
I must admit, the meditation element after breathwork is like no other meditation I've done.
No, because
I can't get myself into that frame of mind.
Everything we do in breathwork
leads
is to get to that point.
Yeah.
Breathwork is preparation for meditation.
And I've tried to meditate on my, well,
if
my
I just, if I just sit here now and we're like, my body gets a bit fidgety.
My mind is off.
I can, if I do breath work and I sit, and then when I'm in and when I go into that meditation, it is like,
boom, yeah,
it's a rocket. It's
unbelievable.
It's a rocket and it goes, boom, hello, source.
Yeah. It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, it's incredible.
Like the relaxation after breath work is like no other.
It's euphoric. It's like.
And that's why a lot of time I do it before bed.
And also, as well, the more we put into the session, the more we're going to get out of that meditation part. Yeah. So the more we find relaxation there, but we can also take the breath a little bit deeper, a little bit faster every now and again. And we can sometimes slower breathing gets the oxygen into the cells. Yeah. So it's not about, not about fast breathing, it's about quality of breath. What's our quality of breath?
Yeah.
During that hour session, again, I have rebirthing sessions somewhere, get to that hour point and they're just not ready to stop.
Yeah.
So it might go on for an hour and a half. So let them carry on breathing. Because an hour and a half sometimes can be for like 10 minutes as well.
There's no time when you're in
a breathing session. It just.
And have you ever had anyone in breath work not hit gold, not break, not have anything, just breathe and then just go?
Yeah, I have.
Wow.
So you've got to, sometimes.
That does happen.
Yeah, of course. And my main thing for breath work sessions is always expect.
Yeah, expect it.
We don't know what's going to come up.
No.
Sometimes I've been in sessions, all of a sudden something heavy has come up, and all of a sudden I've got to start doing pulling things out. But my main thing is I want the breath to do the work. Let the breath do the work. If I need to come in and pull something out, I can. But it's nice if the breath does that. And the more we relax the mind and the body, us.
Mm.
So for timings, I mean, all depends on what we do. Like for rebirthing, where we're just creating that full energy cycle,
it's very simple.
But if we was doing a shamanic session, which we're now going to be start going into with the next stage, I would work in like 3 to 5 minute rounds,
right?
Build it up. Obviously, as we get deeper into the shamanic thing, the rounds can be pretty quick.
Yeah, or long or whatever.
Yeah, it's like, so again, using your judgment until we go into that breath hold. And again, timings on breath holds. Some people can hold their breath for 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah, but it's
we're in a session.
You can't do that. Yeah,
you can.
But it's not viable, is it? If you were with 20 other people, you don't want one holding their breath for two minutes and one 10 seconds.
If you're with a group, time the breath holds. So you are in unison.
Yeah. So like do right
1 minute.
1 minute. 1 minute 20.
1 minute, yeah, exactly. You can build it up.
Like when we did the breath hold class with you, the breath holds got bigger and bigger and bigger. By the end of it, I was doing big breath holds.
Yeah, you can get to about 2 or 3 minutes by that time while you feel
2 minutes
to build. Yeah.
Don't push it, James. 3 minutes.
Well, the more oxygen you get in,
the whole longer you can hold.
The whole longer you can hold your breath. Because your cells are just they're zinging. They're like, firing. Oh, oxygen, yes, give me any oxygen.
They love it.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's what they thrive. So yeah, timings, I would always work in like a couple of minute rounds for like shamanic work because it's deep.
Heavier and heavier.
You can go 5, 10 minutes, but I won't go probably any longer because we're dumping it's a bit of a contradiction as well, right? Because we're dumping lots of carbon dioxide. So we need to get that back in the body. When we're doing rebirthing, we want to
increase the oxygen.
We want to just keep breathing until we hit that point.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a contradiction.
Yeah, they work different ways slightly, don't they?
Yeah. And the main thing is when we do a rebirthing, we always have a really nice breath hold right at the end. Very last breath. Have a breath hold just to rebalance
the chemicals,
the chemistry in the body, and that's why I always do really nice slow breathing just to regulate the nervous system as well.
So you do the weave breathing at the end.
Yeah.
I like the breath hold at the end as well. I think that's really well.
As soon as you do an hour of rebirthing, then have a breath hold. And then you go into weave breathing.
Yeah.
And you're breathing through the nose. You're breathing nice and deep and slow. You keep your focus on that third eye. Your meditation gets amplified beyond.
Massively.
Beyond, yeah. It's like a 10x on your meditation. So
that's what I'll do for my first session of my first case study then.
As soon as you come into that meditation part, you come out of that breath hold, straight into weave breathing, and just allow the ribs to flow forward, backwards, forward, diagonal, up, wherever they're
flowing. And after you've done that kind of big heavy breath work session, you can really feel your body, can't you? You can control it so well. You're like, you breathe, breathe, and I was like, sweet, from different part of my body working, different part of my body breathing.
Is, remember breathing, rebirthing, it's all coming up.
And it's in a big circle.
Yeah, so now when we go into breathing at the end, we're taking all that energy.
Yeah.
And we're weaving it through the organs into every cell. So all of a sudden, it's like...
And it feels very different.
Yeah. Every part of your body is going to get saturated in source energy. And it's like... up. That's why your meditation goes...
yeah.
Because you're connected. Fully connected. So, yeah. So timings, just allow yourself to judge. Sometimes 45 minute mark
is the
magic mark. I've seen it so many times. 45 minutes, 47 minutes.
And so you start seeing the stuffing happens. Something
magical happens in that person, and it just, the chemistry
changes.
Just goes. And you can see it. So I always like, when I'm doing shamanic work, a breath work, shamanic soma work, whatever we're doing, breath hold right at 45-minute, 47-minute mark.
That's when you do it.
Yeah. That's when DMT really
gets in.
Yeah.
I love a breath hold. I really do. I like the feeling. I like manifesting during the breath hold, and I like the feeling, the buzzy feeling I get when I release. I just love breath holds.
In breaths, when we do the in-breath, we're really putting that core in.
Yeah, and shooting it up to the third eye.
Yeah.
Power.
And on the out-breath, we relax.
Relaxing.
And the body do what it needs to do. It's two different variations.
Well, two different nervous systems get interacted at the same time, don't they? Yeah. So one for the out and one for the in.
Yeah, so I always like to balance. Mm. In-breath, out-breath, in-breath, out-breath, and in-breath.
So much for in-breaths.
Yeah, because you when you do the in-breaths, that's when you get
some energy. I'm like, bang!
You get your mystical, psychic.
And I'm like, speak to me.
When you're out, it's more of a healing state.
Yeah, and you're more relaxed. And I find it actually harder at the out-breath. Oh, yeah, like the Wim Hof breath, I find hard on the out-breath, the hold. Yeah. I don't hold it for nowhere near as long, obviously, because you've not got the oxygen. Fascinating.
Any other questions?
No, I think that's it for rebirthing. Yeah, I feel comfortable with it, yeah.
Yeah, your guidance earlier was really nice. So just, again, speaking to your client as you need. And if you're working on a specific trauma, you know what wording to sort of
to say, because then you tailor it, don't you?
Of course, yeah.
And that will all come out in the consultation, won't
it? Yeah, exactly. But also... be open to, when we're doing a rebirth thing, something else might come up.
They might think it's birth trauma, it could be something completely different.
So have your consultation, find out as much as you can from the person, find out about childbirth, find out about their childhood, find out about their relationships with their parents, like really dig, ask questions upon questions. So if you hear something that sticks out, okay, tell me a little bit
tell
more.
Tell me about that, yeah.
Tell me a little bit more about that. And then you can really open up. These people are coming to see you, so make sure they feel comfortable, feel safe. Yeah. Stick to the two rules, which are...
safety and freedom.
Yeah, perfect. It's like, just allow yourself to have fun. Yeah. Bring your energy into this. Because I think with your, where you are, like that power energy, I think you're going to really like take it on deep journeys.
Yeah.
But then you can have that fine tuning of knowing when to get people soft. to soft as well. Yeah. Because I love taking people on.
Heavy, yeah, me too. That's what I'm desperate to do. Like, that's where I feel where I fit. Yeah. But I can also do the kind of the real calm. You know, I do some meditations with some people, and it's just the kind of stuff I've heard or made up. And they're like, wow, that meditation took me back. And I've had people sobbing in meditations. And I know I'm 150 miles an hour, but I can really turn it down and be very gentle, very soft, and natural.
The toning of your voice is really important. So if I really want to get in and get in,
come on,
you've got the power. You can do
it. You are a warrior.
Yeah. And then when you're like gentle and soft, we space out our words and we slow down. Yeah. So it's very, toning is very, very important. But when we do the big breath works, it's the threshold. Okay, how long could we do that for? Because you burn yourself out. So you've got to find that
perfect that line. Medium. Yeah,
that's why I like that straight line.
Yeah,
because if I breathe in too erratic, too deep,
you can't, just can't contain it. Continue.
It's not, good for your body to breathe like that. So it's not healthy to breathe like that.
I mean, I've come out of one before that went on for about 7-8 hours, and I had to, that was on a Saturday night, and the Sunday I could barely walk, and I had to have the Monday and Tuesday off work because I pulled every muscle from my neck down to my stomach,
and I couldn't walk. Breathing.
It was shamanic breathing for 8 hours, and I couldn't move. I couldn't put a bra on, I couldn't put my tops on. I was in bits for days, and that can't be good for you to hurt that badly after.
Of course, you don't heal trauma with trauma.
Trauma, no. Yeah, and it was, I mean, don't get me wrong, it was
amazing,
in terms
magical,
of,
man, mystical.
Yeah, and it snapped me out of a lot of stuff.
You can also get to a point where you overbreathe as well.
Yeah.
And overbreathing is not good for the body.
No, it's just as bad as underbreathing, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
Because it's all about that perfect chemical balance in your brain, isn't it? CO2 and O2, so it's a fine line, isn't it, when you look at the kind of the science behind it.
Yeah, intermittent hypoxic training is really good.
Intermittent hypoxic training, and what's that?
Basically, holding less breathing, so getting used to less oxygen.
Oh, okay.
So you raise your CO2 level.
Yeah.
Basically, you have less breath, so you're in comfortable pauses, you're in a breath hold.
Less breath per minute. And you do that all the time or in a session?
Do it through your daytime.
As much as possible.
Because what I've found is I'm mouth breathing a lot. Mouth breathing obviously can be detrimental to your health.
Teeth, jaws.
Exactly, right? So you've got to have, I've now got to rebalance my body and do intermittent hypoxic training, which I feel is like you're basically fasting from the breath.
Yeah, because that's what it sounds like, an intermittent fasting, doesn't it? When you said that, I was like, oh. So it's the same concept.
Learning how to live with less oxygen, less breathing, because what happens is you end up the prana, the chi, we're not using it efficiently. We're overbreathing in our everyday life as well. So learning how to do this, the prana and the chi is used efficiently. And when we need to breathe,
we can. So since my bad bout of asthma, I haven't been ill for years, haven't I? I mean, I was really poorly. I've definitely focused on the really slow, quiet nose breathing. Yeah,
for Buteyko.
Yeah, Buteyko breathing. But trying to not make the noise is hard. But I practice that often. I do practice that a lot. Yeah, and I've got a lot better in the last week already. So it's definitely worked.
Yeah, Buteyko breathing for asthma is incredible. Mm. Within 90 days is a good 90 to 100 days. Is a good range to really see change.
Difference. Okay. So I started it about a week and a half ago, two weeks ago.
So keep a track of it.
Yeah.
And
see what it's like in a couple of months.
Yeah, absolutely. 90 to 100 days is something magical happens in that
area.
In that area. Because it's not too short, it's not too long, but you can see results. You start seeing changes to your body.
Well, you can see my results through my medical records, because the last time I went to Barts was about 3 months ago, and I went on the asthma check lung machine, and my results when I first started there about 4 years ago were something around 5, which are terrible for lung function. My results were up 19. And they went, "What the hell have you been doing? We can't believe the difference. Look at the results." I said, "It's just breath work." One doctor looked at me like, pff. And then there was a young guy, and they went, "What, Wim Hof? Oh my God, I know all about that. Amazing." He went, "You've literally cured your asthma." And that's why I got so upset when I got sick at Christmas, because I was like, "I've been so well." Right. But my lung function has gone from 5 to 19.
Doctors don't recognize the respiratory system to heal the body.
Mm-hmm. It's the main system that manages everything. And all they want to do is just give me steroids the whole time.
Why are doctors not recognizing that respiratory system can heal our body?
Well, I know
it's known that our body is a self-healing.
It's a self-healing mechanism, the whole thing.
You cut yourself, what happens?
It coagulates and you heal.
So why can't we heal everything else? Okay. So these doctors are taught out of the book. But when it comes to this holistic, proven gift from
God.
God.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that like this bizarre, like cayenne pepper can stop a heart attack or a stroke in its tracks. One spoon of cayenne pepper.
Right.
Yet they don't tell you that. They've got defibrillators and things like that where you could stop someone's heart attack with a spoon of cayenne pepper. Like, I make my parents take cayenne pepper with them in their bags now. Wherever they go, they've got cayenne pepper, because I'm like, if any pain, any heart, anything, stroke, spoon of cayenne pepper, thins the blood, gets the blood moving again, stops blockage. Silly little things like that, you know, but they just want to pump you full of medication the whole time, don't they?
Yes.
And they're like, "Are you still on your Monte Lucas?" Well, I stopped that medication 3 years ago. "Yeah, I'm still on it." "I don't even take it." Haven't done for years.
Yeah.
And I'm so much healthier now than I've ever been. Ever.
But what a result for your breathing, your asthma to go from. What does 5 mean?
Really bad. Okay. Really bad. Lung function 5 was really bad.
Right, okay. Now your lung function's at 19 in 3 months.
Yeah. And they were like, "What have you been doing?
That's a testament to breath work, right?
Unbelievable.
There.
Yeah, and I had one doctor.
Can I share that?
Yeah, of course you can. Yeah. And I had one doctor that was literally like, "Whatever," just fobbed me off as if it's that. It's definitely not that. And then the last time I went, it was a young guy. So I had to have, before I went for the IVF, I had to have an aspirin challenge, because they want to put me on aspirin if I get pregnant. I'm never going on aspirin. I will take cayenne pepper. But anyway, tick the boxes, because they'd already blacklisted me at the sodding hospital for kicking off. So like, fine, I'll go for the test, whatever. Went in. So I had to take high doses of aspirin and then be in a monitored situation, blood pressure, all this, check I'm not having anaphylactic. And the guy come in, he was only young, probably about 30. And he was like, "Wow, look at the difference. How have you done that?" I said, "Oh, breath work." And he'd obviously seen Wim Hof online, and he was so intrigued. He's like, "Do you do ice baths? Do you do this?" And asking me thousands of questions. He's like, this is where medicine needs to go. It's not all these crappy shit. This is where medicine needs to go. It's all about natural."
Yes, we need doctors like that. Yes.
Youngsters, doctors with new ideas, not ones that are just going to sell their soul to the pharmaceutical devil and just sign off everything. Say, "Yeah, we'll introduce that medication. Don't worry about the side effects or how it affects people's mental state, giving them pills, 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 pills." I mean, 4 years ago, before I started this journey, I was on, I think, 14 tablets a day.
I had a client about 4 years ago, 5 years ago. She was on 90 tablets a day.
Wow. 90?
For 20 years.
Oh, my God.
90 Rattle. Tablets a day, right? She was American.
They're even worse than we are.
Yeah, that's what, yeah, right? So she was 90 tablets a day. After 2 weeks of breath work with me, she threw them all away. I'm never touching them ever.
Never touching again.
2 weeks. Mm. Now she's been on them for 20 years.
Well, it's just something so crazy, like omeprazole, right? So they put me on omeprazole, which is for gastric acid when I was 11, when I started with the bulimia at 11, right? To get terrible acid because I made myself sick all day, right? So put me on omeprazole at 11. Now, I was still on omeprazole until I started the IVF. Didn't realise how harmful it was, right? So about a year ago, then I did some research in how harmful omeprazole is. It completely changes the stomach acid in your stomach, so then you can't actually tolerate anything and you can never come off omeprazole because it kills all of the healthy bacteria in your stomach. Anyway, I decided to come off omeprazole before I went down the IVF route. So it took me a couple of weeks to get off it. Found out an alternative, bicarbonate soda. Couldn't believe it. All these horrific side effects from this nasty, dirty medicine. All I needed was a spoon of organic bicarb soda in water first thing in the morning. No problem. Done. Now I've got my mum, my dad, my brother, my sister-in-law. They're all off omeprazole because they was all on omeprazole and they were bicarb in the morning.
Nice.
Just get one teaspoon and just swirl it around. My dad puts warm water on it because it doesn't dissolve quick enough for him to drink it. Because I've got my dad on it for his prostate cancer, because cancer can only live in an acidic environment, not an alkaline environment. One spoon of bicarb completely alkalines the body.
Wow.
So anyone with cancers, bicarb is one of the best things you can give them. So I've got loads of people off of omeprazole in my state, in a pharmaceutical company. I'm a bit on blacklisted. Nature's the way forward. It's all about nature, natural stuff, your own breath, healing.
Bless God, thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Mother.
Thank you for it. Thank you for today. It's been amazing.
Yeah.